Well, I'm happy to welcome Richard Migliori to Racetrackers. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Fine. A lot of excitement in the racing world these last couple of weeks with the Breeders' Cup and all.
Oh yeah, some great racing. A lot of big prices, some big surprises, and it was great to see Barra Gold win for Chester and Mary Broman and John Kimmel. It was a good one for the home team.
Yeah, they've been involved in the game for so long, and such big supporters of the New York bred program. Actually, they were there when it actually started.
Yeah, they've just been such great supporters of it. They love the game. I loved watching the interview with Mr. and Mrs. Broman in the winner's circle, and Mr. Broman was pretty choked up, and Mrs. Broman kind of took control, and it was just really, really great to see them be rewarded with such a great win, and just two nicer people you're never going to meet.
No, that's great. Well, last week on the show, we had two people who are very astute handicappers, friends of ours, New York horse players for a long time, and they finished pretty high up in the handicapping contest, largely because of Barra and Gold, and largely because they realized that the Bromans supplemented Barra of Gold to enter the race, even though they had another horse in the race, Highway Star. So I thought that was pretty sharp handicapping on their part.
No, very sharp handicapping. And I think that's the key to anybody handicapping, nowadays. There's just such a wealth of information that if you do your homework, you're going to pick up on little things that maybe someone else has overlooked. And particularly on big days when the pools are so big, you've got an opportunity, if you dig a little deeper than the next guy, to find that nugget. So it was great. I mean, she was a filly that had shown a lot of talent, just seemed to be unlucky and never really being, given that big performance on the right day. Well, she certainly picked the right day to give her best.
Well, it was, as you said, it's nice to see them, and I'm happy for our friends. And I guess there's a little bit of controversy with that handicapping contest. So they finished 11th. They may wind up moving up higher because there's some controversy with some of the people who finished ahead of them. And I guess right now they're looking at the whole purse structure. But regardless of that, it was just a tremendous handicapping opportunity by Steve Redden and Ed Dikey, who, as I said, are New York horse players for a long time. But really why I wanted to call, speak to you, I always want to have you on, but one of the reasons we reached out to you tonight was Saturday they're running a stakes race named after the horse Artie Schiller. And younger people may not remember, but you rode Artie Schiller to many big victories, and he was a big-time New York favorite.
No, he was a really terrific horse. And actually, several of his races are on YouTube, and I would, suggest to people, go check out his first race, his maiden race. It was 6 furlongs on the turf at Belmont. Jimmy and I, we liked the horse all along, but he wasn't really quick out of the gate. He wasn't very handy, and we really kind of thought, we'd get a run in him going 6 furlongs so he'd be ready for one of those mile and a 16th races in Saratoga. Well, lo and behold, he got up and won going 6 after breaking slowly, which we thought he would, but he flew home. I mean, he came his last 1/8 of a mile and probably 10 and change, ran 1:08 and a couple on the turf first time out. And I remember coming back that day and saying to Jimmy, like, we liked him. We knew he was good, but I think he's better than we even thought, because I just didn't think he could ever win going 6 the way he did. But a horse with an explosive turn of foot, when he got good as a 3-year-old, Bill, he would actually, you could lay up a little bit closer with him, and he could still punch home. I think he won the Jamaica. He ran a mile and an 1/8 and 1:45 and a 1/5 that day, and probably could have went a little faster if I had asked him for everything. And then, unfortunately for me, I got hurt the first Breeders' Cup he was in going to Texas. I got hurt the day before. A horse fell on top of me, flipped over in the gate with me. And I was hurt, but I still went to ride, and I shouldn't have. And it was probably one of the biggest professional mistakes I've ever made. And I rode him with a broken wrist and a couple of cracked ribs. And we had a terrible trip there. 7/8 turf course really wasn't made for him. And if I say me being hurt had nothing to do with it, it sounds like I'm making an excuse, so I'll never say that. I will say I shouldn't have rode him that day, and we just had a horrible trip. So I got replaced because, Mr. Entenmann, and rightfully so, they were upset. Jimmy was very understanding, but they were upset that I went to ride the horse hurt. And, you know, had a good conversation with Mr. Entenmann about it and just said, listen, I own it. I made a mistake. My desire superseded my logic. And we left it on good enough terms. And Prado got the mount. And he rode him in the Maker's Mark, I guess it was, at Keeneland. And he had post one. And he was covered up. And then when the hole came, he exploded through and he won pretty comfortably. And that really was his trip, Bill. Like, he was so much better off being covered up, bottled up. He'd almost get mad and his blood would get up. And then when he found a hole, he would explode for 3/16 of a mile. But it's hard to ride a horse that talented risky like that because you tend to want to ride them a little safer, you know, get them in the clear. But as a four-year-old, he was hanging a little bit in the clear, and he had gotten beat three races in a row with Edgar. He got beat a neck, a head, a nose. And I called Mr. Entenmann, and I said, Mr. Entenmann, I made a mistake, you know, going to ride Artie Schiller, you know, hurt last fall. And I own that mistake. I said, but sir, all due respect, you're making a big mistake if you don't put me back on this horse because I know how to ride him. And 3 days later, I was walking by Jimmy Zirkins' barn, and he said, I don't know what you said to the old man, but you're back on the horse. So,
okay.
And I won the Bernard Baruch on him. And then I was second in the Kelso, I guess it was. But he was like, I didn't give him the best ride, but I don't think he was at his best either. And a week before the Breeders' Cup, now it's at Belmont, his favorite turf course. I mean, it's like the stars are aligning. I'm going to get full redemption. And just about a week, maybe a little less than a week before the Breeders' Cup, I worked him at Belmont. And I got in the car and I was driving over to the jockey's room because I had to go pull some weight. And I called my wife and I was like, this horse couldn't be doing any better. We're going to win the Breeders' Cup. He can't get beat. And the first race of the day, I went out and I broke my leg.
Oh.
And I didn't get to ride him in the Breeders' Cup. And that's when Garrett Gomez, he had some good mounts that day, and Jimmy put him on. And he won his first Breeders' Cup or his second Breeders' Cup, because he won one earlier on the card that day, I think. And I was thrilled for Jimmy Jerkins because I think he's one of the greatest horsemen, and he's also a friend and just a terrific person. And I was very happy for the Entenmanns, and that one stung. That was a tough one to swallow. That, you know, I've got my leg in a cast and a horse that I had, you know, gotten back on after what went through the year before. But you know, that's life. That's what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, he was, for our fans who may remember, well, certainly some of them remember him, but some may not. He became a fan favorite, and he became a fan favorite, I think, because of his style, but also because I think he was a bit of an overachiever, right? I mean, he didn't look as imposing as some others, and he kind of had a bit of a different style. But as you said, when he saw that opening, he just wouldn't be denied at times.
Yeah, and really that was his best trip. When he got to kind of almost be in trouble and have to, you know, wait on a spot, when that spot came, I mean, he would just explode. He really was a fun horse to ride. Sometimes he would give you, you know, a little bit of a heart attack, you know, even riding him, because I rode him in the Woodlawn Bays on Preakness Day. And I was buried in traffic. I mean, just nowhere to go. But again, that was kind of how he ran his best race. And man, he looked like Larry Zonka coming through the line. I mean, just pulling his way through and you know, he was really, really talented. And you know what? He's having a really good run at stud as well.
Well, that is so. And you know, I guess he was grass bred, but it seems like his horses can run on, his get can run on almost anything. I recall from people in the stands, they kind of almost could never get his name right. You know, it was a name, and it was Artie Schiller, and it wasn't a famous name. And I guess Jimmy Jerkins told me it was named after somebody that Mr. Entenmann knew, but, you know, but not a public figure. But people would always, you knew they were talking about horse players, but they managed to add things onto it. I remember someone saying Artie Schillerman and Artie Stilkin, Rumpelstiltskin. It was, you know, it was all sorts of names. But everybody, but he really was a fan favorite in New York. And I'm glad for me, I'm for one, I'm glad he's remembered with a nice brass.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, it's a great thing. And you know, listen, he was a very accomplished horse. You know, and he did win a Breeders' Cup at Belmont Park, and he ran huge that day. And again, he fell into that trip that he loved, you know, kind of covered up, no place to go when, I think it was Singletary was outside of him when he started to tire and drifted and he got that hole. He just would make that, you know, incredible 3/16 of a mile, brush kind of run. So it was, like I said, it was fun to see him do it, and I was happy for the connections, but I was a touch, I won't say brokenhearted, that might be overstating it, but I was frustrated, that's for sure. And then I was out 7.5 months because, you know, not only did I break my leg, I broke my ankle, and I ruptured my Achilles tendon. So it took a long time to get back, and then I came back, and I was doing fine. You know, I was riding, and I was starting to win. I was riding Funny Side as a 5-year-old. I won a couple stakes on him, but I just wasn't really feeling happy about anything. I guess I was a little bit depressed because of, you know, being out that long and missing Artie Schiller. And that's what led me to go into California. One day I ran into Ron Anderson, who had Garrett Gomez's book. He was his agent. And he said to me, he says, you know, you ride a good race. He goes, and I just think maybe you're getting a little overlooked here now because you've been hurt a couple of years in a row. You want to try California. And I went out to California with him. I was third leading ride of the first meet I rode at Santa Anita, and that led me to Desert Code, who I won at the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint on. So, you know, life has its twists and turns, and it, you know, it all worked out.
It does. I mean, it's a game of it is a game of alliances and loyalty, but it's also a game of picking up mounts, losing mounts due to injuries or due to rides, and it all seems to work out in some way, shape, or form after a while, right? I mean, for every one you lose out on, you tend to pick up another.
Well, you know, you always hope it balances out at the end. I remember years ago when I was a kid, you know, I'd be a bit more mercurial and run a little hot. And, you know, I've always had a temper. It's gotten better as I've gotten older. But Eddie Maple sitting me down in the jockey's room one day and telling me, you know, don't get too high when you win and don't get too low when you lose. You got to try to stay even because you can win 5 today. You still got to go out tomorrow and, you know, prove it all over again and be out work in the morning, and you can get beat on 9 favorites. And, you know, guess what? You got to be here tomorrow and do it all over again. So, you know, that was some great advice that I had gotten from Eddie years ago that I took more to heart as I matured and got older, but it's certainly the truth. This game's too constant. You can't, you know, I'm sure it's the same for a horse player. You know,
right.
you have a great day and, you know, you hit, you know, the pick 5 or the pick 4, whatever it is. And you know, guess what? You're going to go there tomorrow probably, or the next day or the next weekend, and you don't want to give it all back. You just got to kind of stay even.
Right. Well, it's a humbling game, no question about it. And that's the thing to keep in mind for handicapping too. Horses are never as good as they are as they look when they win, and probably not as bad as they are when they look when they lose. And you know, it's something to always keep in mind. Well,
yeah,
well, Rich,
exactly.
Where can we find you these days? I know you've landed happily, I think, over at, with the people over at with Frank Stroning's group, and where can people find your analysis?
Yeah, well, right now we're doing everything online, live stream, xbtv.com. They came to my home. They built a studio, so I've been doing a lot of stuff from home, and you would never know that I'm home. I mean, it's the East Coast studios for XBTV. They really did it. I knew it would be nice. I didn't realize how nice it would be. I'm actually down there right now.
Okay.
So it's like a studio/office. This is kind of where I come to do my work. And I was out at Breeders' Cup. I was there 9 days for them. I'll be at Gulfstream for 10 days live on site for opening day. And I'll be back for the Pegasus and the Eclipse Award. So there's some travel required, but it's so much different than what I was doing at NYRA, which, you know, NYRA was a great opportunity, and you know, I appreciated my time there, but I was driving 200 miles a day.
Right.
You know, I was getting home at 8:30 at night, and I told my wife, I'm not living here. I'm sleeping here. And I made a decision to leave, and then I got this, you know, incredible offer from the Stronach Group and XBTV, and they asked me, what can we do to get you to come on board with us? How can we make this happen? And I said, well, I don't want to commute. And they came up with this idea to build a studio. And, you know, I was on site in Saratoga covering workouts and different things. But since the end of Saratoga, I've done more from home. I'll get an email, you know, be in the studio at 11 o'clock, and this is what, you know, here's the rundown, this is what we're doing. I'll come down, and they control the camera, the lights, the 80-inch screen they've got behind me for whatever track we're talking about they'll have up on behind me. They control all that from California. I don't even turn a switch on.
That's great. That's
yeah,
great.
So I'm very, very fortunate. And also I'm working for Phasic Tipton. I'm the New York representative for Phasic Tipton. So, you know, another thing that, you know, in this industry that I was always on the periphery of sales. You know, I bought a horse here or there, sold a horse and attended auctions. But now learning so much more about that side of it and being their New York rep, it has just been an incredible thing to be 53 years old and learning a whole new facet of the industry. So, you know, Bill, I'm very, very fortunate. I've been given great opportunities.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's, I guess, the radio personality I miss in the morning once said, talent never takes the bullet. You know, and as long as you have talent, you can figure out a way to do it. And I guess Steve Martin, the comedian, said, be so good they can't ignore you. And I guess the world is great now that you know, you don't have the logistical problems, that if you're talented enough, as you are, you'll get someone to set up the logistics for you so that you don't have to, you know, have that grind that came with traveling every day.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. It's nice of you to say, but I definitely, you know, I had hit the wall with it. It was just, I drove home the night of the Belmont Stakes, and it took me almost 3 hours to get home. And you know, that was such a long day anyway. And I was talking with my wife, Carmella, and I said, you know, I guess I can put my head down and get through the summer, but it's going to be a long summer. I just don't know how much longer I can do this. And she looked at me and said, you know, you only have so many summers in your life. And when she said that, it just, you know, it crystallized everything for me. And I went in that Wednesday and gave my notice to Naira. And again, I'm very appreciative of the opportunity I was given at Naira. I'm very proud of what we all did collectively with television there. I think we took it to another level, and I was proud to be a part of that team and proud of my contribution to that team. But, you know, there just comes a time when you need to find a better balance between your personal life and your professional life. And the Shronach Group and XBTV has really stepped up and helped me have that.
That's wonderful. Well, that's great. So it's XBTV.com. Our people can find you there, our listeners, and I'm sure some of them already do. But for those who don't, that's well worth taking a look at. And you're working with a great team over there, too. And, you know, obviously, keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate it, Bill. Thanks. Always great catching up with you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Richard Migliori, everyone. Thanks, Richard.
Take care.